Peter speaks about a Christian's joy in spite of all the struggles and sorrows, sufferings he has there. And what are the reasons why he is rejoicing? We have seen it is an essential nature. I won't repeat all those things again, explain it again. And it's supernatural, and exhorted to exhibit that joy, Christian joy. Then we also saw that this joy can be hindered or even enhanced. We all have joy. If we are true Christians, we have that spiritual joy within us. But sometimes, because of various reasons, we don't show that love, that joy. We don't exhibit that joy. The reason may be ignorance of God's purposes. These readers, they were aware of God's purposes in them. Even though they have sufferings, it's good for them. That's what they understood. So that gives joy to them. Then we also saw that lack of fellowship, sin, prayerlessness. And there are much more can hinder our joy. Now when we come to 9, verse 9, end of 9, you read there, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, as far as the readers of Peter is concerned, the main reason for their joy is their realization or the awareness of God's program for them. What is the ultimate thing? It is written there, you believe, you rejoice. Why? Because you know the end of your faith is sure. You know the end of your faith, salvation. Salvation for your soul, salvation for your body, that glorification and so on. So Peter says that, Peter is aware that these readers are rejoicing in the Lord in spite of all the struggles because they are sure of the salvation. Because they are sure of their future. So, because of that, from 10 to 12, we see Apostle Peter elaborates upon the greatness or the glory of salvation. The greatness of salvation. He wants to explain there. He's elaborating the reasons why salvation is so great. There are some reasons, some things he says there. First of all, very clearly it's mentioned there. Not much to... Of this salvation, prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Salvation is something that gives them joy. Now we must remember one, something more. When we come to Book of Revelation chapter 5, from there we understand even throughout eternity, God's people are going to rejoice, remembering salvation. In the book of Isaiah, there are many verses referring to the joy of Israelites in future, when they shall be restored in the kingdom of God, in the glorious kingdom. They will rejoice, remembering how God has delivered them. So salvation is a matter of joy. When we meditate upon the salvation that God has given to us, when we meditate upon the way God has saved us, it gives joy to our heart. Now what is the first thing about the greatness? The first thing that makes salvation so great? Peter says, prophets carefully inquired. In other words, it was the subject of It was a subject on which prophets studied a lot. See, you know what is research. Some of you have done research, you know. You know research. What is research? Research, searching on a particular topic. It's different from normal study. When you make a research, when you study something as a research, that means you're going to study it in detail. Some of you are here, gone all over the world, searching something. Then only that can be a search, you know, research. You're going into the depth of that topic. So here Apostle Peter says, prophets of the Old Testament prophets, they carefully inquired, they searched it. They tried to understand this topic. Which topic? Salvation in detail. Now the question is, what made them to search the truth about salvation so seriously? It's very sure that they were not doing, it was their intention was not a PhD or something like that. But they wanted to know more about salvation. What is the reason? It's not written there very clearly, but that is included there, or you can see that idea is found there somewhere. Just let's see carefully. Of this salvation, the prophets are inquired and searched carefully. Notice those words. Inquired, searched carefully. Why? Who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time? You see, searching what it is, what? Salvation. And searching what manner of time, at what time it is. Then, again we read there, in the end of verse 12, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering. They try to understand the truth about salvation. What it is, when it is going to take place. Then Peter says, then they realize the Spirit of God told them, you're not going to understand it fully. Your generations will come to understand. So what writer wants to say is, you are enjoying something that prophets never understood easily. Now we have to ask another thing. What is the reason why prophets found it hard to understand about various aspects of salvation? Why it was so hard for Peter, sorry, prophets, to understand different truths about salvation? So difficult it is for them, according to Peter. From here, another thing, we get another lesson, another proof. Of what? Of revelation. The way God revealed His secrets to His people. You must remember that. Actually, Apostle Peter himself says it in 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21. Peter says in, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Prophets, they never wrote something as it came to their mind. The scripture, the word of God, we know it well. All scripture is inspired by God. God breath. Now Peter says, not of man, but the Spirit of God moved them. Or the Spirit of God took hold of them. They were not writing something that came to their mind. So God revealed His secrets to them. God revealed His you know, plan to them. We have those references in the Bible. We won't go there. Amos 3:7. And there are some other verses. Hebrews 1:1, we know that. God in the ancient times spoke to our forefathers little by little, progressively. So God spoke to our forefathers, prophets, secrets, mysteries, of various things. We know it very well. And out of those various things, one important thing is salvation. And that salvation, these prophets, they couldn't understand. Now, the question is, what is the reason why they couldn't understand? What is the reason why they couldn't understand? When God revealed His secrets to them progressively, little by little, through various ways, as the writer in Hebrews says, many things they could understand, but about salvation, they found it very hard. Why? There are three things mentioned here, it's referred here, according to Peter. We need to notice it very carefully. You see, verse 10, we can see the first thing there. End of verse 10, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you? You referring to the readers. So the first difficulty for prophets to understand the truth about salvation is, what is that? How can God, Jehovah, save Gentiles? You, the Gentiles. So when we go through the Bible, the Old Testament, we understand it very clearly. Most of the time, when you read the book of Isaiah or Jeremiah, there are various types of salvation referred there. There are three types of salvation. I don't know whether I can say type of or three aspects of salvation that Jewish people could understand easily. What are those three things? Salvation from enemies. Salvation from bondage, captivity. Enemies referring to the attack from various nations. When you read Isaiah, Jeremiah and so on, you read that, you understand that. And also salvation from bondage. We understand that later on they went to, the Lord sent them to captivity, Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity. And Isaiah or Jeremiah writes about their salvation that they are going to get from this bondage, captivity. And also they could understand easily salvation of what? Future salvation. Lot of references there regarding the future restoration of Israel. When God will honor the covenant that God made with Abraham and so on. And they could understand that. But there is another salvation referred in various parts of the Old Testament. They couldn't understand fully. What is that? Salvation of Gentiles. In other words, personal salvation, personal salvation of sinners, whether Jews or Gentiles. They couldn't understand that. Salvation, collective salvation or national salvation, prophets understood easily. As a nation, God is going to save them. But individually, every sinner, once they repent or accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, whether Jew or Gentile, they will be saved. They could not accept that plan of God. There are many references. See, in Isaiah 11 and 45, we're not going into those details of the references. God's plan for the Gentiles. God is going to accept the Gentiles. Maybe we shall read few verses when we shall be able to get that message very clearly. Isaiah 11 verse 10. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 10. You know that chapter 11 speaks about the future millennial kingdom. In between that, there we read, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall see him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Maybe one more verse in 45:22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. There are many, plenty of Old Testament predictions or references where we see about God's plan for prophets. So the plan for the nations, for Gentiles, prophets, they couldn't understand it. Because their impression is, God's people are only Jewish people. God has a plan only for Jews, for Gentiles, there is no plan at all. You see, even to the New Testament time, Peter and the other apostles, you see that in Acts 11, when Peter, he went to Cornelius' house, and they got saved, and the discussion we see in Acts 11, they couldn't believe that God will save Gentiles in the same manner as he saved us. So what Peter, he wants to say, prophets, they couldn't understand properly about what you enjoy today. And the second reason, what is the second reason why they couldn't understand salvation fully? That is about that idea we get from verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would fall. What is the second reason? They couldn't accept or they couldn't understand a suffering Messiah. See, in the book of Isaiah, again, we shall read that Isaiah 9, for example, verse 6 and 7. They can accept this verse easily. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon him, upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish the judgment. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. They could easily accept prophecy or messages, revelation related to the glory of Christ. But they couldn't easily accept the sufferings of a Messiah. Because we know that in the book of Isaiah itself, lot of references related to the glorious appearance of the millennial kingdom of Christ, the glory of Christ, the reign of Christ. At the same time, Isaiah 53, many other references where we see about the sufferings of Christ. But these prophets, they couldn't fully understand it. They couldn't fully accept it or appreciate that, the suffering Messiah. When we read Luke's Gospel 7, not only the Old Testament prophet, even now John the Baptist, he is the person of Old Testament or New Testament. I think he is part of the Old Testament, the end of Old Testament. Though the references are the New Testament, he is the person of the Old Testament, second coming, before Pentecost, before the chapter began. So even John the Baptist couldn't understand the suffering of Christ. That's why from jail he sends somebody to him. Are you the Messiah? Shall we wait for somebody else? So he also couldn't appreciate a suffering Messiah or the trials or the sufferings of Christ. So that is second reason. That is the second reason. The third reason is, now you see verse 11. Prophets found it difficult to comprehend the message of salvation. Reason number three. What is that? The times. The time means, what does it mean, times? The timing. Now it is written there, the sufferings and the glories. They were not able to understand. Quite often it is explained in this way. Bible teachers, they explain with a mountain peak. It is a little bit easy to understand. Prophets in the olden time, all during the Old Testament time, they could see two mountain peaks from afar off. When they could see the two mountain peaks, the suffering and the glory, Calvary and Mount Olive, where the Lord is going to come back. But they couldn't see what? The valley in between. Just imagine, we can even see that picture, if it is correct. It may not look very correct, you know. When you see, when you stand on a mountain, on a higher place, you view the land, two mountains, peak, two different mountain peaks. But in between, you don't know how low is the gap. In the same way, prophets in the Old Testament time, the Lord is revealing various things to them. The sufferings of Christ, the glory that is going to come, but they couldn't understand what is going to happen in between. They were not, see, actually in Isaiah 61, it's a very interesting verse. Isaiah 61, you see, Isaiah, he speaks about both these advents together. Isaiah 61. We know that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. That portion speaks about the first coming of Christ. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the synagogue and he took that book of Isaiah, the same scroll, the same book, and he read this portion and he applied to himself, saying that today this verse is fulfilled. But at the same time, he stopped where? He didn't read fully. He stopped in between verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance, he didn't read. So in other words, the Lord, he read it, he applied it. He said that from there we understand that this verse speaks about two different times, of the first advent, of the second advent. And in between that, today we understand, it's a long period. Prophets, they couldn't understand it. But today we are here in the valley. We can look back to Calvary. We can look back to the time of Christ's first coming. And we can look ahead and see the Lord is going to come back again. So the argument of the writer is, you are more privileged. You are more blessed. You are more blessed people because you are enjoying something even the prophets couldn't enjoy. See, the Lord also says one verse there in Matthew's Gospel 13, verse 17. Matthew's Gospel, verse 13. Sorry, chapter 13. Verse 17. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, did not see it, and to hear what you hear, did not hear it. It's true about us. It's true about us also. Many prophets desire to see him. The Old Testament believers, the prophets, they desire to understand what we can easily read and understand how blessed we are. Now, we need to realize the value of that. That's what Apostle Peter says. We are more blessed than the Old Testament people. Those prophets, they couldn't understand the truth about salvation. So we should rejoice, as Apostle Peter says in this context. Keep on rejoicing. They are not blessed. But at the same time, there's another lesson for us. Because the Old Testament prophecy, the Old Testament scripture is inspired by God and it speaks about Christ, what you have to do, what you should do. We should seriously study the Old Testament books, the Old Testament prophecies. Now we shall go to the another reason. So the another reason why salvation is so great. Salvation is so great because it was the subject matter. It was the main subject
of perfect study. They mastered, they labored, they researched upon this topic. How much important is salvation? And second reason he says, verse 11, what is the second reason? Searching what or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ who was in them indicating. Peter not only refers to the role of prophets, or prophets who made it their interest to study about salvation. Now he refers to the role of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that, we have already seen those verses. It was the Holy Spirit who was revealing the things to them, helping them to understand. Holy Spirit inspiring them, carried them away and gave them the message. And we understand the role of the Holy Spirit in revealing the things of God to them. Now what Apostle Peter says is here, Spirit of God reveal lot of things to the righteous. But the emphasis is on what? On salvation. Holy Spirit. Now here it is mentioned Spirit of Christ. Because it was, the reference is to gospel, the salvation, gospel of salvation. The reference is to what Christ has done. We understand the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit. We read that. We understand the role Holy Spirit played in the things of related to salvation. So what Apostle Peter he wants to say is, the second reason is, main topic of the Holy Spirit, gospel, salvation was the main topic for the Holy Spirit also. Among all those things that the Holy Spirit revealed to the prophets, Spirit of God dwelt much on salvation. Now when we come to John's Gospel, not only in relation to inspiring prophets to write about salvation, let's read two verses, John's Gospel 15, verse 26. John's Gospel 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He will testify of me. 16, verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now there again we see that even today the work of the Holy Spirit is in connection with the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit took the theme of salvation as a main theme, took salvation as a main theme in the Old Testament time, inspiring them to write about it. And even today the Holy Spirit is teaching or telling the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is the main point for the Holy Spirit too. And one more thing we understand from here, 1 Peter chapter 1, end of verse 12, not here at all, now have been reported to you to those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. So in all those verses, we understand the role of the Holy Spirit in relation to the salvation, to salvation. Inspire the prophets to write about it. And the Holy Spirit reveals about Christ.
magnifies Christ or glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit empowers His servants to preach the way of salvation. And all these things, the second main reason is, it is the main theme for the Holy Spirit too. Salvation is so important, so great. Now one more thing Apostle Peter says here in end of verse 12. What is that? Things which angels desire to look into. Things which angels desire to look into. What is that? Very easily you can understand it. It's a matter of wonder for the angels. The angels, they want to look into the salvation. In other words, they have a desire to look into it. See, when we read about the gospel, we read the gospel that in relation to the story of salvation or the gospel truth, we understand that angels have an involvement there. It was an angel who announced the birth of Christ. And we understand that after the Lord was tempted, angels came to minister. Angels came to minister the Lord after His temptation. In Luke chapter 22, we read that angels came to strengthen the Lord Jesus Christ when He was in agony. And we understand that at His resurrection, angels stood there at the grave. And at His ascension, there were angels standing there. And also we read that Luke chapter 15, angels, they rejoice when a sinner, he repents. And angels, they help or minister those who are saved. Hebrews 1:14. So we understand that angels have a role in the things of the gospel. They have. Even then, what do we see? Even then, they are not satisfied. They want to look into the truth of salvation. They are carefully watching what it is. As we sit together, as the church comes together, as we pray together, angels are wondering. Angels, they want to look into this thing. So Peter wants to tell his readers, you are enjoying something that even the angels are not able to enjoy fully. Now what are the reasons why angels are wondering, seeing you and me, seeing the truth of our salvation, or seeing the church of God? What makes them to wonder? I think there are two things could be there. First of all, that we get from Hebrews 2:16. Hebrews 2:16. Read there. For indeed he does not give aid to angels. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And the second Peter 2:4 also, we read that 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains. Angels, they wonder at salvation that we enjoy, because they just say, how could a holy God save this wretched people? And this holy God did not save the fallen angels. God had no plan for angels, but angels sinned against God, saved them for eternal punishment. The angels are wondering, God save this wicked people, mankind. when they say, and our fellow angels, when they committed sin, God had no plan to save them. Wondering. That is the first thing. And second thing, it's already mentioned there, they say, why can't we communicate this wonderful message? They just wonder that God has used us for to communicate God's messages, but God doesn't allow us to communicate this truth about the Son of God, truth about the gospel, salvation. So they just wonder, why can't we do that? And we even would have done it better. Now it's a challenge to us. Angels are wondering, such a wonderful truth, such a wonderful message of salvation, saving the most wicked people. Now one thing you must remember, there Apostle Peter refers to grace that would come to you. Salvation is grace. Salvation is always by grace, undeserved blessings of God. None of us, no man, deserves any salvation at all. Angels, they just wonder, what a wonderful news it is, what a wonderful message it is. We may get an opportunity to share it, tell it, to preach it, to proclaim it. We would do it better. In Ephesians 3:10, Apostle Peter, Paul says that, through you and me, through the church, angels are learning the manifold wisdom of God. It's really, it should challenge us, reminding us of the wonderful privilege, blessed privilege that we enjoy. Angels are learning something from us, from the church of God. From the church, angels get a message. Angels are trying to learn the manifold wisdom of God. They are wondering. They are interested to look into the matters related to the gospel, salvation, church of Christ. In the book of Revelation, we read that even today and as well as in future, angels are going to sing praises, glorifying God for this salvation. Remembering this salvation. So if angels are so much wondering, so much interested to look into the things of the gospel, how much more we should be. Angels are wondering, but we don't bother. Angels are wondering, how could God save such a wicked enemy, devil's people? But we don't wonder. It is this wonder that produces what? Worship. It is this wonder that produces witness, true witness. You know that John Gospel 9, that blind man said, I don't know who is he. You know that story. I don't know who is he, whether he is a sinner or not. I know nothing else. I know only one thing. I was blind, but I can see now. Some sense of wonder, wondering at that great work of God, wondering that mighty work that God has done in our lives. Angels are wondering, then how much more you should wonder about it. So when we go to chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, one more thing he speaks there, refers there, we shall go there later on, the cost of this salvation, the cost that paid. The precious blood of the Lamb. We'll go to that reference later on in another context. But the reference is there. Salvation is so great because of these four reasons. Main topic of proper study. Main theme of the Holy Spirit. And the matter of wonder to the angels. And the cause that paid to procure salvation. Our salvation is so great. Now what should be our response to this great salvation? Very first. Peter says, indirectly he says, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. In spite of all the troubles, the trials, persecution, scattered, suffering saints, keep on rejoicing because you are enjoying such a wonderful salvation that prophets couldn't understand, angels deserve to look into, and the Holy Spirit take it up as an important topic, and you should keep on rejoicing. Now, secondly, write of Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, so great salvation, if we neglecting how? Neglecting? Why? In these matters. We don't think about it. We don't care about it. We don't respond to it. How shall we escape? Don't neglect it. Worship. Costly worship. Because you have paid a price. Witness. Propagate. Angels, they can do it. But God does not entrust this responsibility to them. He has entrusted to us. As I am saying to you, delivering you, you go and propagate. You preach the gospel. It's our responsibility. And enjoy salvation. It's our duty to study, understand what are the things involved in salvation. What God has done for us. And rejoice in it. Enjoy it. May God help us that we may understand more about salvation, worship Him, and witness Him. Tell others about Him. Praise Him. Glorify His name. May His name be glorified.